This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 79, and I'm going to be talking with my friend Debbie Canfield. Before we get started, though, I wanted to say thank you so much to this show's sponsor, Jelly Telly. I don't know if you know this, but screen time is tricky, especially now we're on spring break and all I hear is, can we please watch TV? I want to throw my TV, I don't know, off a cliff. If I could find a cliff, my TV would be thrown off it, but I don't have a cliff, so we still have a TV. Jelly Telly was co-developed with the VeggieTales creator, Phil Vischer, and it's a safe place for children to watch fun, engaging television while learning about God, the Bible, and faith. They get to watch shows over and over and over and over. Why do they like to watch shows so many times? I don't even know. But the shows that they watch over and over, you know that they're good and they're safe and they're fun. And they reflect what you believe about God and help lead your kids into a life of faith. So visit jellytelly.com today. Use the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL. It's all one word, just for Mom Struggling Well listeners, and you'll get a month free to try it out. I know that you and your kids are really going to love it. Okay, so my talk with Debbie today, I had so many questions for her that we didn't get to because we started talking about her marriage and some really hard places there. And what I love about this chat is that she's still walking that out. It's not all tied up in a bow and pretty. It's still hard. And hello, that's like where all of us are. You know what I mean? So it's so good. I really appreciate Debbie's vulnerability, and I just know it's really going to speak to a lot of you. Before we get started, I just need to get the attention of my marketing department. Nobody has shown up to be paparazzi in front of my house. It's all right. Not every idea is the best idea. I was just throwing that out there. It's fine. But I really feel strongly about this next marketing idea, you guys. I only need one person. Okay, so if I'm talking to you, this is just stirring up your heart. Just contact me. I can only take the first person who contacts me. I know that there's a mom out there who feels like she would like to be trained to be a skywriter in the airplane, writing Mom Struggling Well over just anywhere in the world that you want to go. I mean, I feel like literally the sky's the limit. It's fast paced. You get to go upside down and do some loop-de-loops and like some free fall stuff. So if you are like kind of a crazy driver and you like to live on the edge and you are feeling that in your life there is a void that only skywriting can fill, and I don't know, during nap time want to write stuff in the sky, there's only so many skywriters in the world. I really feel like we could do something with this. So I know everybody's going to want to do it, but I can only probably take one. You also have to pay for it yourself. And also, I will not compensate you for your time. But I would love for the first person to volunteer, I will like give you a free mug if you become a skywriter for the show. I wish I could offer more than one spot, but sadly, it's just gonna be first come, first served. Well, I cannot wait to share this chat with you. Let's go ahead and get started. All right, Debbie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, I'm good.
So what'd you do this morning?
I let the kids go to school for the first full day since Christmas.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow. That was a long break.
It was a long break. We have snow like none other. We never get snow. I'm up in southeastern Washington.
Okay.
And we're getting dumped on this year. Just dumped on.
That's what I've seen. But is it fun? Like, do you enjoy it or you're over it?
We're kind of over it now.
Do you know how to drive in snow?
Yes. And my minivan is awesome.
Is it good in snow?
It is actually really good because it's front wheel drive. And so, yeah, I can pretty much go anywhere. Now watch me like totally slide all over the road today.
Yeah. Do you have to put on chains?
I don't. I never really liked chains. So I have all weather tires and I kind of just go with that. And if it's really, really bad, I just don't go out.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Arizona, so I've just seen chains in the movies.
Yeah. They're kind of scary to me. I've seen too many fly off, you know, do weird things. And I did use chains one time. And they came apart and they just messed this total outside of my car. So I just stay away from them. I always had this fear of putting them on wrong. So,
yeah.
And I did, apparently.
Apparently, you're not super good at it. Okay, so will you introduce yourself? Who are you, really?
Who am I? I'm Debbie. I do run a little Instagram shop called Canfield House.
Did you change the name?
No, I have my personal account and then I have Canfield House,
okay,
which is all of my crafty goodness. I love that. It's yes. really kind of where I've moved to. So I make these heart of heart hoops, and mm-hmm. it's really interesting. I kind of just fell into it, and I laugh because they're kind of girly.
Okay.
They're almost a little too girly for me.
Okay.
And so it's kind of interesting living in a house with three boys and my husband to have this girly outlet. And good, it's okay. a lot of fun. I do enjoy it a lot. And when there's too much man stuff going on, I go to the pretty place.
Yeah. Okay. So you have three sons.
Yeah. We've been married 10 years. I have three boys. They are 8, 6, and 4 going on 5 next week.
How do you feel about not having girls? You're fine with it?
I'm fine with it. Actually, after 2, I was fine with it.
Okay.
And I did get pregnant with the third one, and I thought it would be nice. And he was the only one that we actually found out what he was because we had some difficulties. So I had enough time to just prepare for the fact that he was going to be the boy.
You know you're done at 3.
I'm done. Now, whether God is done is a totally different story.
Okay, so you were done after 2. Is that what you're telling
me? I was done
me?
After 2, yeah.
Okay. How is being a mom different than you thought? Did you want to be a mom?
I did. I totally wanted to be a mom. And I'm finding that it's not exactly what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. What's different?
Well, it's hard. It's really hard.
Oh, yes.
My parents seemed to do it with ease. Like, oh, you shouldn't do that. And then we didn't do it.
Yeah, I know.
I say, you don't do that. And then I say, you don't do it again. No, no, you don't do it. Stop.
You really don't do
it. Okay, just let him do it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, so do you know what your giftings are, like, as far as personality or whatever?
You know, that's really been a hard one for me. Lots of people are like, okay, so what is your gift? And they're asking these questions. And I'm like, okay, so is my gift my crafting? Is my gift speaking? Because I do talk a lot. I always thought it was hospitality because I grew up in a house that was hospitable. But that's not really where us Canfields are. So I really don't know.
The reason I ask is because you are such an encourager. And I didn't know if you Aww. Knew that about yourself. But you are just such a bright place. When I think of you, that's what I think of.
People have told me that I'm a peacemaker, that I'm an encourager. And I don't know.
It's hard to know what to do with that sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
So, okay, you told me that you find marriage to be quite refining because your husband and you are very different from each other.
Yes.
My husband could not be more different. So tell me about your pain in that.
My pain, right? I struggled a lot with this the last week because I knew that I was going to be talking about it. And I was like, okay, so in the scheme of things, I really haven't suffered. So I really had a hard time saying, okay, this is my struggle. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so pampered. I have a huge house. Okay. I have a warm house. I have every meal that I possibly could want. I can go to Starbucks whenever I want to. I mean, like, my husband provides so well for me. Okay. So why am I just throwing this little tantrum? But it was ironic because last night my husband listened to a video by Paul Tripp, and he said in his video, it doesn't matter how small you think your struggle is. You need to share that because that's real.
Yeah.
And it will help bring the church alive.
Hmm.
It is. So I have a great story. It's going to take a little bit.
Go for it.
I was homeschooled. My whole romance story actually started at my high school graduation. So at my high school graduation, my parents gave a graduation dinner. And I invited a few friends and family and stuff like that. And one of the persons who was there was a boy I had a crush on. And my dad got up and he gave a speech. And in true 17, 18-year-old form, I was like completely mortified.
Yes.
My dad drew an analogy between my mom and dad and Moses and me as the children of Israel. And he said that my mom and dad, Moses, had been guiding the children of Israel, me, through the wilderness of high school and education and stuff like that. He said, and now that she's done with high school, we're just overlooking the promised land, waiting for her Joshua. So I was like, oh my goodness, how embarrassing, you know. And my parents were really into the whole courtship thing.
Okay.
I was not.
Okay.
Joshua Harris came out with his I Kissed Dating Goodbye book.
Goodbye, girl. Yeah, we must be the same age.
I did not read it. My mother did.
Okay.
I was like, not with a 10-foot pole. Sorry.
I am just kissing dating. So.
Yeah, I'm going to kiss it all up. So when it came out, my mom was like, oh my goodness, maybe this is your Joshua.
That guy?
Yeah, Josh Harris.
Okay.
Yeah. she was like, Joshua, you get it? It's your Joshua. And I was like, no, I don't think so.
So funny.
So after high school, I went to the community college and I met a group of kids that were really, really awesome. One of them was a young man who I dated.
Okay.
And I dated him for about a year. He was just a real gentleman. Mm-hmm. He treated me so well. He really romanced me. I am a hopeless romantic.
Okay.
So I was smitten beyond measure. And he went and he talked to my dad. So all of these big dudes, like 6-foot guys, were like, I'm not going to go talk to Mr. Dryden. There is no way. Okay. And he actually threw a dare or a bet during a guy's game night, was told he needed to go talk to Mr. Dryden and ask if he could take me out on a date.
Okay.
So he did. And then we dated. He would take his 15-minute break from work and he would leave notes on my car. He would send me flowers. He was amazing.
Okay.
So I remember one day when I was about 18, I had a job as a teller and I was at my teller station and I looked out the window and I just thought, I am incredibly happy. I have this guy who pampers me, this great job. I felt complete. Mm-hmm. And at peace and just excited about life. My parents were still on the whole courtship thing. So we would frequently have dinners with my parents where we would talk about dating and stuff like that. And so after about a year, we went out to dinner and my parents, because my parents were like, you know, you should only be together if you're going to get married. And we were like, we're 18. He's thinking of going to medical school. So he's looking at like 8 years of college and he was like, I want to marry you, but I don't think right now is a great time. And my parents were like, you need to get married. Otherwise, you need to call this off.
Okay.
His best friend was dating a girl and my best friend was dating a guy. The three of us couples would hang out. But at our final dinner, my dad said, so he's going to go and you're going to come home with us.
Oh.
And that was it. And I went off to school, to college.
Okay.
I was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get to really say goodbye to him. And I really like questioned, you know, like, what do you want?
You questioned your parents?
Yeah. Why isn't this guy okay? You know, what do you expect? You know, we sat down and we had a talk about it. And they were like, you know, whoever you, for lack of a better word, date, needs to have a steady job, needs to be a Christian, needs to, and kind of, they didn't give me a list, but I made a list out of it.
What were your feelings towards them for cutting off that relationship?
Now I know it's bitterness, but I try not to go there.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious at the moment if you were like, okay, that makes sense or.
Yeah, it didn't make sense at all. I did date a couple of different guys who kind of fit that list. And through the grace of God, I did not marry those guys.
Okay.
So fast forward 10 years, I'm like 28, 29, and I'm still not married. I'm so old and I'm still not married.
Okay.
Which, of course, now looking back, you're like, oh, baby.
Oh, to be 28 again. I know.
No right? So I was getting kind of desperate. One of my girlfriends and her girlfriend on Valentine's Day was like, this is enough. Forget it. We're signing up for eHarmony. So they signed up and I was like, yeah, I'm not that desperate yet.
Okay.
2 weeks later, this really, really strict Southern Baptist girl had been matched up with this guy that she was just like, oh my goodness, he's wonderful. I was like, whoa, if they can do it for her, nothing against her, but I was like, wow, I think I need to try this.
Okay.
So I signed up for eHarmony and I filled out their 429 billion questions.
Okay.
I got hooked up with a whole bunch of matches and I eventually met like 6 guys. At one point, I went to my parents' house for dinner and my youngest brother had a paper due at the community college on online dating versus something else.
Okay. Did your parents know you were doing this?
Yes, they did. Okay. They weren't really excited about it, but okay. You know, hello, Joshua hadn't come and I was getting old.
I am finding Joshua on the internet.
Right.
Meanwhile, are you still thinking about that guy, the medical
yes.
guy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm still totally. Thinking about the medical guy. Dang it. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
So we have this dinner conversation and it blew up. It was just bad. It was just a bad conversation. And everybody pretty much in my entire family just said online dating was horrible.
How did you feel about that? You're kind of between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. So I had actually been checking my matches on my parents' computer before dinner.
Okay.
And I walked over and I hit nationwide.
Ooh, boom.
Boom. I was like, I'm going to make this work.
Joshua's in Nevada.
Okay. Well, Joshua was in Nevada.
Are you kidding me? I just said
Okay, so
that.
Wait. Okay. So anyways. Eventually, I was at work, and I was checking my eHarmony on the work computer. Rebel. So she was like, well, how's the eHarmony things going? And I was like, well, it's fine. You know, there is this one guy, and there's something different about him.
Okay.
And she's like, well, what's different about him? I was like, I don't really know. She's like, well, tell me about him. And I was like, well, this and that. And he's from Utah, but he's working in Vegas. And
he really is from Nevada.
Yeah,
I just said that. That's so random. Okay, go ahead.
Crazy. She was like, well, interesting. Well, what's his name? And I was like, Joshua. His name's Joshua. And she was like, oh, maybe it's your Joshua.
Oh, my
God. What? Oh, Mom.
Okay.
So that was like the longest match process that I had. And it took a long time. He would always wait 2 days to respond to me. So we decided that we were going to meet up in mid-July. I had showed my dad one picture of him. Then my dad just kind of was like, And okay. That's pretty much the only response that I got from him.
How did that feel?
It wasn't negative.
Okay, great.
And I think he was just kind of like, whatever. He was still getting used to the fact that I was dating guys on the internet.
Okay, yeah.
My dad was 83. He was really, really active and a real thinker, mm-hmm. really intellectual. On this Sunday before I met Josh, Josh was going to come to my hometown. On the Sunday before, my dad was out playing tennis and he had a stroke. And he did live for 2 years after that, but that was really, in my mind, when I lost my dad.
Yeah. How was that meeting when you just had that trauma?
Well, it was really interesting because I remember standing in the hospital hallway. My dad was finally in a room and we knew kind of what was going on. And I was there with my mom and the older of the two younger brothers that I have. My brother was like, oh yeah, you've got that guy coming on Saturday. And I was like, whoa, don't even worry about it. He doesn't need to come. Cause it was just going to be really, that whole conversation was going to be awkward. And my mom and my brother both said, no, he needs to come. Hmm. And I was like, well, that's a God thing.
Yeah.
Cause out of those two, I did not expect it.
Yeah.
So he came, he knew what was going on. He met my family. There was like a ton of drama that ensued with my entire family. So he was kind of the steady thing throughout that.
Yeah.
The second time that he came to spend the weekend with me, he took my dad to the bathroom and helped him go to the bathroom. And then I was like, okay, wow, that's a kind man.
Yeah.
Because he was living in Salt Lake and working in Vegas, his company would fly him home for the weekend. So he just took that money and would fly to see me instead. He would like fly up. He'd rent two hotel rooms. He would rent rental cars. I mean, we really lived it up. So our dating was kind of adventurous.
Uh-huh.
But he also was working nights. So he would come and see me on the weekend and have to like totally flip his whole schedule.
Yeah.
There were a lot of times that I like went out with my friends and he would sit in the corner and just kind of sit there with his arms crossed, just kind of staring off. And then sometimes he would even fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it was just that he was tired. But after we got married and we lived in the same town and we were on dates.
Yeah, yeah.
He was still kind of the same way. And so with all respect to my husband, I love my husband dearly. My husband is an amazing man.
Yeah.
My husband is a pessimist.
Okay.
My husband is not an extrovert and he was raised completely different than I was. Okay. So I was thinking like, I have got 429 questions that show that we're compatible.
Yeah.
Where are those?
Yeah, where are the compatible parts?
We did have like the most amazing first year where we didn't address any problems. We just had fun.
Okay.
It was great.
That does sound great. So what changed in the second year when you had to start addressing problems? Like, why did you start? Because some people just never address the problems.
Yeah. And I'm kind of one of those types of people. Like, we have slowly started to address issues, but it's been late. We're still in that process. We had like 3 years where we were both working and both making lots of money. And we had our first anniversary and we went to this cute little town in Oregon called Hood River. And I was really excited because it was like this getaway. And I wanted to see their cute little downtown. It had cute little shops. Mm-hmm. And so we went to this mom and pop place for breakfast, and we were going to shop for a little bit, and then we were going to go hike because he loves to hike. We went to breakfast. We went to the first shop. We went into the second shop, and the second shop was an artisan jewelry shop. I saw a necklace in there that I liked, and I was like, wow, that's really pretty. And he was like, well, do you want it? And I was like, oh, well, you know, whatever, you know, I don't need it. And he's like, well, I know you don't need it, but do you like it? I'll get it for you. So I was like, oh, how romantic. So we got it and we walked out and I walked into the next door and he was quiet. And then I walked into the next door and then I could tell that there was something seriously wrong.
Okay.
He was upset. So we walked out of the store and I was like, what's wrong? And he was like, I bought you the necklace. I thought we were done. And that was just kind of the beginning of me realizing, whoa, wait a second. This is not all roses and fun.
So how do you manage that like today?
That's really hard. I still struggle with it. Okay. I still really struggle with it. Yeah, that's my struggle.
Yeah.
I did struggle a lot with feeling like cherished and loved because my love language is like gifts and words of affirmation.
Okay.
And my husband is, of course, not. He's more of a pessimist. Like he will show me what is wrong, whether it be something about me or not. One time I asked him, I was like, what about me do you love? Why do you love me? Is there something? And he said, well, God gave you to me, and so I love you. And I was like, I can't argue with that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't give me anything to go on. And so I really struggled with that. I gained a lot of weight. I felt like I was alone. My mom was having her own struggles because she was caring for my dad.
Yeah.
She would make comments about fat people, but she was talking about me.
Was she saying it because of that, or it was kind of accidental?
It was just her opinion. She would just make comments in general. And in my mind, I would just be like, that's how much I weigh. And some comments about like, I had short hair. Why aren't you going to be a girl? You know, comments that were really, really hard to deal with when I was dealing with not really feeling loved by my husband.
Right. So what happened next?
What happens is we have three kids and then I'm like a depressed zombie. And I was talking to one of my Christian friends who I love. She always calls me on the carpet and is just like, this is how it is. And she told me, she said, you know, I think you just need to talk to God about this. And I don't want this to come across as blasphemous, but she was like, and she said it so much better, but she was like, you need to call God out and just tell him you have said these promises. Show me them.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, wow. So in a little more toned down way, I did. I was just like, why did you do this? Why would you make me this way where I need romance? And why would you have given me that boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the
and
first
then
guy?
And taken him away. Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, why? Yeah, that was just a really, really long conversation. And honestly, that began my romance story with God.
So what do you feel like God, what was his response when you stood on his promises and said, this is what I know is true about you?
He honestly, he started romancing me.
Okay, what's that?
He started leaving little notes. I got onto Instagram and one day this other girl that I was following, she posted on Valentine's Day that, you know, she had these struggles with her husband and she was kind about it. And I wasn't alone.
I love that.
Yes, so good. I started being surrounded by Christian women through Instagram who just kind of built a community for me that encouraged me in my marriage, encouraged me in my walk with God. And then I could start looking back on my life and kind of going, okay, so this was a love note from God. And so I can look back now on my husband and I's like romance story of how my dad started it back when I was 18. He spoke his name before he could not speak. But I was like, oh, well, God had this planned. So I kind of had to start looking for little notes. And I kind of had to start believing that God does leave like little notes for us, which is kind of weird to me.
Well, he does want to communicate with us, right?
Yeah.
And we forget that he's an actual present being.
Yes. I started looking for the notes when my youngest son was about two. He loved trains and we live next to this street that has trains on it every once in a while. And so when we would drive that way, if there wasn't a train, he would flip out.
Okay.
If there was a train, I'd be like, thank you, Lord, there's a train. And then it would be, Nate, God left you a train. Look at this. And then my kids started saying it. And so then I was like, well, I really need to figure this out. Like, do I believe this? So yeah, I started looking for love notes. And that's where my scripture verse that I sent you really comes in. Jude 1:2. It's the Message version. It says, relax. Everything's going to be all right. Rest. Everything's coming together. Open your hearts. Love is on the way. So I actually got a Farm Girl Paints cuff and had her stamp, Love is on the way. Mm. And I wore that sucker for 2 years straight. And anytime that I had a problem where I was like self-focused, I would look at that and just realize, you know what? God is coming. I need to just sit and relax. Finally, when my youngest was 3 years old, I actually got to go away for the day. When I came back, my husband confessed something to me. I wasn't really surprised or offended or anything like that, but I figured I should probably do some research on what was going on.
Okay.
I read this book, and I can't remember what the book is, but it said in regards to this whole scenario, God is weeping with you. And that was the first moment that I thought, oh my goodness, he is weeping with me. Like, I'm crying.
Yeah.
I'm in pain, and he is here, and he is crying. This is his pain also.
Hmm.
That was like the first time that I felt him come alongside me and be on my side and help me and carry me.
Yeah.
The rest of that book was just like, this is an attack on your marriage. You need to fight for your marriage.
Okay.
And that changed my focus from me, what am I getting? What am I not getting? To how can I bring my husband good? Which I still feel it. Totally.
I mean, that's a dying to yourself that has to happen every couple minutes.
Totally. Oh my goodness. Yeah. All day long.
My husband just had shoulder surgery, so he can't use one of his arms. And I'm like, get over this. It's only been like 4 days. So I get it, man.
Yeah. So allowing him to take out the trash because he wants to do that for me, and allowing him to pamper me by saying, don't take out the trash. When I'm at home, I don't want to see you lifting garbage. I was like, but I can. And then I thought, wait, this is actually going to bring him good. This is allowing him to love on me, even if it's his way.
Yeah. Because for me, it's acts of service. I would feel so loved if that happened.
Yeah, I could care less.
Is acts of service his, do you think?
Like yeah,
doing stuff for him helps. Yeah. So yeah, he is loving you. That's hard to.
Yeah, he is loving me. Oh my goodness. My husband loves me so much. I mean, he really does. I just wish he would buy me something.
Yeah. Well, listen, what I've heard some women do is make an Amazon
wish list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they just have to buy the one they want.
Yeah. I think that's great, but it's the sentiment behind it that's important to me. I don't care about the item.
I just want the thing. I care so much about the item.
The first boyfriend gave me a stick one time, and he was like, I carried this when we talked about this, and I kept that stick.
Okay. Do you still have that stick, Debbie?
I don't have the stick. Okay, good. No, that stuff is gone.
Okay. How do you manage that?
I have to give that to God. And the beautiful thing is that God has seriously been romancing me, and I've been able to see that.
Okay.
He has showed up with love notes. And my most recent one, I'm going to try to keep it together, is I kind of lost my mind. One day we have three boys. I was trying to homeschool. They're all active. They're good boys. They're active. They have a mind of their own. And because they're 3 years top to bottom, 3 years and 11 days, they're all kind of learning the same thing.
Yeah.
But they're all really needy.
Okay.
So it's not like I can give the sixth grader, here's your history and off you go, and then play with the kindergartner. And I don't know how some of those women do that.
Yeah.
You guys are amazing. You're amazing. I don't have that gifting because I'm so selfish.
Yeah, no, I don't. Don't look at me like I'm doing it. Yeah.
So I had full responsibility for the homeschooling, and I was really nervous about it. I was really overwhelmed. So I got mad one day and I kicked the wall.
Okay.
And I shoved my foot through the sheetrock.
Oh, man.
It's amazing how easy that is. Okay. I was really, really mad. I took my shoes off. I threw them. I then plumb lost my mind.
Yeah.
Did things that I never thought I would do. I was so frustrated.
Just because of the kids and their being so active and the homeschooling.
And feeling kind of alone. I am kind of alone when it comes to raising the kids. He's here on the weekends. He's here in the evenings for 2 hours. But most of the time, it was just me and the kids. And so I didn't like the pressure of the responsibility of their education. So we sent them to school.
Okay.
We made the decision 2 weeks before school started.
Okay. How has that been? Because they've been in one semester now, right?
Yes. Honestly, it's amazing.
Okay.
It was heart-wrenching for me. They love it. They eat it up. They are so excited to go to school.
Okay.
It's a private Christian school, so they learn more about the Bible. It's amazing. Just the knowledge and information that they're coming home with that just backs up what we have here at home.
Okay.
I'm in love with it. I do drive all day long.
Okay.
I go there, I pick them up, I go and pick up the third. So there's like six driving segments.
Okay.
Anyways, we sent them to school and a burden was lifted. And I was like, I feel free. I have 2 hours. I had like one thought that went from A to B with no interruptions. It was amazing.
So good.
Okay. Yes. I felt like a real adult. And then I found out I was pregnant.
Oh.
And so that stirred up so many emotions because okay. I just thought, I finally have time to breathe. And now I'm going to have a baby?
Okay.
I wasn't really on board with the last one.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I have like kidney stones and that kind of stuff that I was just like, what? No. So I threw a tantrum. I'm just going to say it. I threw a tantrum.
So that was the wall kicking?
No, that was actually after the wall kicking because I kicked the wall, sent the kids to school, and then found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
Right? Actually, my youngest said, you have a baby in your tummy. And I was like, no, I do not.
And you did.
And I did. Oh yeah, which is kind of creepy too.
So what happened next?
I struggled because I was being so selfish. And I told my midwife, I was like, I guess we're going to be seeing you. And she's like, we'll get you an ultrasound. You'll see this little baby. You'll be all excited. And she was really encouraging. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm just not there. And I feel horrible saying this because there are so many people who have such a hard time having babies. I mean, it breaks my heart to just even share my selfishness. So then I started bleeding. And then the baby was still there. Like we were testing all my levels and it was still there. So then I started thinking, okay, maybe it's going to be special needs. There's a possibility, you know, if this doesn't go well. And I was just like, oh my goodness. And I was stressed out and everything. And I did eventually lose it.
How was that? After not necessarily wanting to be pregnant, how did you feel after losing it?
I felt sad, but I felt relieved too. I mean, how horrible is that?
Listen, we're allowed to have feelings, even if they're not.
Yeah, it's where I am. It's the honest truth.
Yeah, and I appreciate your honesty.
So I had the pregnancy test on my my bathroom counter, a little more private. And I left it there because I needed to look at it and adjust to that when I found out that I was pregnant. And I'm kind of an out of sight, out of mind girl. So I kind of intentionally left it there. After all of that was over, I got mad again. And I was just like, why did you do that to me, God? Why did you let me send the kids to school, feel that relief, and then pretend like I was going to have a fourth child?
Okay.
Why did you run me through that? I started thinking, okay, there's this little baby that I will never see. Why did you create that life? Because it seems kind of pointless to me. Mm-hmm. And he said, I wanted you to see your selfishness. I wanted you to see just all of this gory stuff that is in you.
Did you not know before that you were selfish?
I know that I'm selfish.
Do you feel like you were focusing more on your husband and how he wasn't
meeting
your needs or whatever?
I was. And I had kind of grown into that spot where I was kind of self-evaluating and being like, oh, well, you're really selfish.
Yeah.
But it was gory getting it out and being like me against this little baby. Just knowing the sin. You know how people are like, I knew my sin. I never really knew my sin.
Okay.
I know I'm sinful.
But you got to kind of have a better look at it.
I got to feel it.
Okay.
I got to feel it in my guts.
Okay.
It was humbling.
So what's today like then with that? Because that wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. Well, just really embracing how much God wants me to be His. I am a Christian. I don't think that there's a lot of actual depth. I was raised in a Christian home, so I know those things. Mm-hmm. But you know how like some people who haven't been raised in a Christian home, suddenly have that aha moment and they're like, yeah. Oh, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And I've just had this slow, slow, slow stuff and realizing that he's romancing me. He wants me to be close to him. Mm-hmm. And he has orchestrated all of this for that purpose.
So what do you do daily to put yourself in a position to have the depth that you were saying that you didn't know that you didn't have?
I listen for him to talk to me. I look for the love notes and I do read his word. I listen to godly women, like that girl on Mom Struggling Well podcast. Gosh. She always has great girls there.
Yes, that part I will agree with.
So it's still a work in progress. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm basking in the fact that my husband doesn't have that much pressure. Like, he's relieved at this point, I'm hoping. I don't know if he is, but in my mind, I'm relieving him of that pressure to woo me and cherish me and romance me in my way.
Yeah, that's good. It's not easy.
It's not easy. But to kind of just sit back and relax. Like that scripture says, relax. Everything's coming together. He made me this way for a reason. I'm just going to calm down.
Yeah. I do just want to ask you the last question that I always ask before we're done. Yeah. If that's fine. What can you not stop talking about right now?
So I don't have anything really wonderful, but do you have something that I've been talking about for 2 years? So okay. I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
Deodorant is really important in our house.
Yes. There are a lot of boys in that house.
There are a lot of boys. And it's really important to me to have natural stuff. So I love Mandy's deodorant, which is Happy Home Botanicals.
Okay.
And then she's Urban Homestead on Instagram.
All right.
She makes it herself.
Does it work really well?
I really, really like it.
Okay.
I can tell when it's working. I need some more today.
I can tell when I need this. More.
Yeah, but it's really good. It's a paste. So that's not my favorite part. So you take a little dab with your finger, which lots of people are like, ew, that's gross. But you know what? I don't know. There's some kind of satisfaction in it.
You know, and just we all need satisfaction from our deodorant.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I look forward to it every day. Sadly, no way. That's where I'm at.
I love that. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for being so honest and transparent. I think that it's a gift to people who are having those very same thoughts. Like you felt when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. You don't know how many people that you just helped them take a big sigh of relief and go, oh my gosh, me too. So I appreciate you. Wasn't that neat, you guys? I just am so thankful that the ladies that I invite on the show are so willing to share vulnerably because, I don't know, I just don't feel like there's enough time in the day to talk about a bunch of surface stuff. She really put herself out there and I love it. I really appreciate Debbie. Before we get to our strategies to struggle well, I wanted to remind you one more time to go to jellytelly.com and enter the code STRUGGLEWELL. Just for Mom Struggling Well listeners to get a free month of Jelly Telly. So I went to Bible college like 15 years ago, and my kids, after watching some of those shows, they know stuff about the Bible that I have never even heard of. And I should be excited, but I kind of feel like, why does my 4-year-old know more than me when I studied it? But it's fine. It's really fine. It's humbling, but it's good. My family genuinely loves it. And I even pay for it with my own money. That's how much I like it, you guys. So don't forget to check that out. So something interesting that happened, God has done this so many times with this show that I shouldn't be surprised anymore, but it happened again this week and I still get amazed at his perfect timing and the way he orchestrates things. So I have episodes recorded through almost all of the summer because I don't know, I just do. I like having a bunch of episodes already recorded. And so this interview with Debbie got pushed back a little bit because everything kind of shuffles around depending on schedules of my guests and all that kind of stuff. And so when she was talking about the love notes from God, I think it's great. I just didn't have any romance and all that is not high on my priority list. Like when she was saying she wants the sentiment, I just tell my husband, please, every single time you're going to get me a gift, just put as much money as you are willing to put on an Anthropology gift card and let me have some time to shop by myself. I couldn't be happier. So we are very different. But regardless of if you're more like me or more like Debbie, we all want to know deep down that we are really loved, like really actually loved by God. And so this episode got pushed back a week. And during the week, I had forgotten what we even talked about because I talked to so many people that I didn't really exactly remember what I had talked about with Debbie. But as I listened to the episode, I was amazed at what God did in my life this week and how much it mirrored what Debbie was talking about. I was meeting for coffee with this really lovely, godly woman this week. And at one point, she just looked at me with so much genuine care and love. And I'm telling you, I don't walk around saying God tells me things or I hear a bunch of stuff from God, but I felt God speaking to me in my spirit and saying, this is the way I look at you. And then as that happened, out of her mouth came, do you know how much you're loved? Do you know how much God loves you? And I said, well, I mean, theoretically, I know in theory, I know in my head how much I'm loved. And she just went on to share with me how much God loved me as I'm thinking, this is the face of God. This is how God looks at me. It was weird. I mean, she wasn't doing any weird googly eyes or anything. She just was looking at me and I don't know. God just said, I love you like this. This is the way I look at you tenderly and with such great care. So then I get in my car and the first song that comes on when I turn my car on is a song from Shuffle, Ellie Holcomb, of course, because I'm obsessed with her new album. And it was the song You Are Loved, and that's the title. And I honestly, no offense, Ellie, I usually skip it just because I don't know love and hearts and all that gushy-gushy stuff. It's not really my jam. I don't love it for some reason. I feel like the title You Are Loved, I don't know, makes me a little uncomfortable. Like, I know I'm at least liked or at least accepted, even if it's somewhat reluctantly. But if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't always feel like I'm loved by God. But because of what had just happened in the house with her telling me how much God loved me and me hearing from God, this is what it looks like. This is what my face looks like. These are what my eyes look like. This is how much I love you. This is how I look at you. Then when the song came on, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just listen to the words. And these are what the words are. You are loved, not because of what you've done, which really spoke to me because, man, am I task-oriented? Because I'm amazing at doing stuff. But that's not why I'm loved. You're wanted, not because you're perfect. And that also, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, because I really struggle with perfection. And then the song goes on to say, I know that you don't think you're worth that kind of grace, but look into his face and you'll see that you are loved. And I was like, oh my gosh, more stuff about God's face. Then the next morning, I go to a Bible study and we have a guest speaker. And the guy stopped in the middle of it and he said, listen, this isn't what I usually talk about, but I just need to tell you everything the Bible says about God's face. Are you kidding me right now? So God is trying to teach me about how much he loves me and how genuinely kind his face is. It's so interesting. It's been really powerful to get that very specific and quite interesting love note from God myself this week. So what will your strategy be to struggle well? I think the first and most obvious one is that God is leaving love notes for you. He is active and on the move, and he delights in you, not just in me or in Debbie, in you. This week, prayerfully ask God to show you a love note if you're in a particularly dry season and you just need to know, what does his face look like? What does he think of you? If you think that me and my guests are all lunatics, but something about this weird God stuff that we keep talking about is really attractive to you, even though you'd rather die than admit it out loud, that's fine. Ask God to show you if he's real. I pray that he seriously weirds you out this week in the best way possible. Debbie talked about how things changed for her when she changed her focus. Maybe this week your strategy to struggle well would be, if you are seriously unhappy in your marriage, maybe this week you change your focus. I would encourage you to take an honest look at what needs you are expecting your husband to meet that can only perfectly be met in Christ. I've said this before, but when I lived in China and everybody was on a bike and I looked so different than everyone, I was giant compared to all the other girls, gigantic nose, big round eyes, they would look at me and get all discombobulated and stare at me. And because they were looking at me, they ran into me on their bike. We were constantly getting run into by startled Chinese students. So what you focus on is where you're headed. So if you are focusing on how jacked up your dirty dog of a husband is, you are just headed towards more and more bitterness and anger. So focus on something else. Focus on God's goodness to you. Focus on the fact that your husband does that one good thing, even if it seems so tiny. Focus on that. Maybe this week you take a serious look at what it's like to be married to you. If you really take an honest look at how hard you probably are to live with, maybe you'd end up actually being thankful that your husband even comes home at night. And I am actually saying this to me because I am not easy to live with. My husband for sure got the short end of the stick when he married me, and he swears that he didn't, but I think it's just because he's a really nice person. I am not easy to live with, but I tell a lot of jokes, and that's gotta be worth something, right? Ladies, I'd love to hear what you thought of this week's episode. Come find me on Instagram. That's where I love the best, at Mom Struggling Well, or you can also find me at Facebook. Don't forget to grab your mug or your totes or your sticky notes. And if you are going to go shopping on Amazon, first go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and the show will get a tiny percentage of what you purchase at no extra cost to you. I think you're the bomb.com. And I'm quite sure we're not supposed to say that anymore, but I also don't care because I don't know what else we're supposed to say right now. So that's as current as I am. So I'm going with it. And I hope you have a great week of struggling well.